to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
It's good to have everybody here today. How many like cool weather? You like the cool weather? I personally do. I like the cool weather. Go ahead and find your seat. Hey, a couple things let me start out with. Thank you for giving to the debt. We still around $800,000 what we owe on that. So just no mix up on that. We're still doing well, and what we paid over half, I think, of what we did owe at one point. And so we are doing well. Secondly, Wednesday night, I'm going to show a video. I normally never do that, but I'm going to show a video of an old buddy of mine. How many of you ever knew or remember Billy Hornsby? Do you guys, many of you remember? Okay, many of you do. You may not have known this. You know Charlene, his wife, has had Hodgkin's disease for about 40 years. And she's fought it and beat it and fought it and beat it and fought it and beat it. And she's continually, Billy tells me she's the toughest woman he ever met. And because she goes in, she'll take chemo, she'll go through radiation and deal with it and go on. Well, I've very rarely in my life heard of this, but Billy contracted the same cancer. And Billy has been fighting it now for some months. And they're in Birmingham, and he is not expected to live more than about maybe a week or a month left. And Billy, if you remember, Billy had his three daughters. I remember many years ago, Billy used to be a state trooper here in town. And Billy was the one, when they used to needed to clean out a bar, they called Billy. Come on, somebody. And Billy would go in there and clean the bar out because he was just a ruffian. He'd grown up. His brothers, he has a bunch of brothers, and they all look like the mafia. You ever seen Billy's brothers? You see Billy's brothers, they look like the mafia. I mean, no exaggeration. You would think the mafia has come to town. And their daddy was a military man, and he grew up. And Billy would tell me many a time, we didn't go to the hospital to get stitches. My daddy put a pencil in our mouth. We bit down, and he sewed us up. Come on, somebody. And he was a tough character. And they grew up tough and rough. Billy used to tell me his mama growing up would tell him, you know, you got the world by the tail, Billy. You got the world by the tail. And he and I, one time he called me. He was a state trooper. He wanted to go into ministry and went to Monroe and started a church and named it after ours called Victory Bible Fellowship, what we used to call it, VBF, back then. And he started called his Victory. And we were good friends, and then had a feeling of a call to Germany as a missionary, and he went over to Germany. Never could quite pick up the language of the German language. His kids did. And one time he called me and said, come on over here. Let's do like Paul did and cross the continent of Europe and encourage the brethren, everybody that's in all the different churches. So I went over, and for 2.5 weeks, he and I slept together, ate together, rode trains together. And somewhere near the end, we had enough of each other. We went our different ways. Come on, somebody. It was in Paris. We were in Paris with one of Danny Oss's sons, and he does a mission work there. And I remember that we just had enough. We said, okay, I bless you, brother. I'm going to go east. You go west. I'll go west. You go east. But we took and been good friends for a long time. And I was single back then. I remember every morning he was a great example to me because he would get up and pray for his children every morning. And he prayed for his three daughters. God sent him the right husband. God sent him the right husband. And his oldest daughter, Tammy, married one of Bethany. Billy came back, went on staff at Bethany for a little bit. And before he left Bethany, and he was out in South Carolina, da da da. But his daughter, Tammy, married a young man by the name of Chris Hodges, who was an associate, one of the associate pastors at Bethany. And Chris left and went up to Birmingham, started a church, and has turned that into the fastest growing church in America. I forgot how many they have now. It's unbelievable. And he's in Birmingham and has churches in about 5-6 other cities. And so Billy became like the father of that work with them. And he is up in Birmingham, it's called Church of the Highlands. And he got out of the hospital, and Chris asked him if he would come and speak to the church, because it's very emotional. They all know him well, and they knew that he only had a short time to live. And Billy came, and he sat down in a chair because he couldn't stand very long. And he's in this big leather chair on the stage, and he speaks for about, I think it's 30-some minutes. He speaks on this topic, how to struggle well. Come on, somebody. Say it. Say, how to struggle well. The book of Hebrews tells, we call it the faith chapter. It tells about all the great exploits. But a lot of people never finish the chapter because before the chapter ends, it says, but others. Everybody say, but others. Were tortured, cut in two, suffered desolate in the mountains and all that they were there. And Billy speaks about 30 some minutes. He speaks on there how to struggle well. And in it, he tells very openly and very honestly when he got the report that he had incurable cancer, that there was no more they could do. They sent him home and said, there's nothing else we can do, brother. He said, we've done everything we can do. And he went to the Lord and didn't feel like the Lord was going to heal him. And so he talks about how to struggle well, what to do. So we're going to do that Wednesday night. Maybe you never come on Wednesday. It'd be a great just one-time Wednesday to come. And I'm going to show that video Wednesday night. It's him. And then we have a prayer meeting afterwards, and we get done by 8:30. So you'll be in and out early enough, and you can bring your kids if you like. But it's a real moving sharing, and it's a real honest sharing about how you struggle and how you deal with guilt and how you deal with, is there something I did wrong? Is there something that I needed to do? Did I not reach the level of faith? How you deal with all that stuff? How you deal with all the issues of life? Because sometimes as charismatics, we can get so preoccupied with this world and this life that we don't understand there's more to life than living health, wealth, and prosperity all the days of our life. And so we'll talk about that. That's going to take place. If you'd like to be a part of that on Wednesday night, it'd be a great thing to come see. Maybe I'd be your one Wednesday of the year, and you can fulfill your oath before the Lord. It'd be a great thing. All right, everybody stand up. Hey, we're going to speak today on the last... let me say this. You ever cross... How many's ever flown from from one side of the United States to the other side? Anybody ever done it? You've been flown across? You know, we fly a lot, and a lot of times I'll fly in the United States and sometimes fly around the world and this and that. And there are things that we call the flyover states, the flyover area. That is, you never stop there. You just sort of fly over it. And we've got a lot of relatives, and Louisiana, believe it or not, is sort of a flyover state, you know, unless you're going to New Orleans. But Baton Rouge isn't the big, you know, attracting all the, you know, the world. They lot fly over us to Cali, you know, they fly over us to Florida. The Florida flies back over us and try to go. And what it is, it's something called flyover areas. And in the Bible, I have found there have been books where the kind of flyover books. You read them because you have to read them, but, you know, normally don't. And one of those books is Ezekiel. And what I'd like to preach on today is the last four words in the book of Ezekiel. How many know what the last four words in the book of Ezekiel is? Anybody? I know my wife does. You're cheating. You just read. There's a few of people. I want to teach you. And let's just go ahead and put it up. Go ahead and put it up. And I had a number of things. But the circumference of the city. This is the last verse of the book of Ezekiel. The circumference of the city shall be 18,000 cubits. And the name of the city from that time on shall be what? Say it one more time. What? I want to talk to you a little encouraging message this morning. Not a big deep theology, just a little encouraging message. And that is, the Lord is there. And in the Hebrew language, it's the word Jehovah Shema. It's the word Jehovah is a compound name. And God did that. But literally in the Hebrew, it says, and the name of the city, speaking of the New Jerusalem, the name of that city from that time on will be called Jehovah Shema. No longer, listen, there'll be a time it appears in Jerusalem, in heaven. Look at somebody, say, are you going to heaven? Just say, are you going to heaven with us? There seems to be a time when it says the name of the city will no longer be called Jerusalem. But the name of the city will be called Jehovah Shema. That is, when you're out in the world and you say, where are you going? I'm going to the city where God is. Where are you going? I'm going where the Lord is. And he says, and the name of the city from that time on will be called. Joe, is it cold in here? I'm cold. It's freezing, isn't it? I'm cold in them dark hills. And when I'm cold, everybody is frozen. I know the feeling. Help me, somebody. Yeah, everybody got their jackets on. See, what we try to do is bring unity, you know, bring people together. And we'll do it any way we have to do it. So we'll just play. I want to talk to you today about the Lord is there. Father, we pray today that you would open our hearts to really receive truth, and that it would be such a liberating force in our life that we would walk in the midst of every situation, how we love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said good amen. Amen. You can be seated today. Jehovah Shema. I just want to encourage you today. And then we're going to pray at the end of the day. And I don't do this normally, but I just want to do a little encouraging message. Jehovah Shema, one of the names of the Lord. And in the 35th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, we'll back up a little bit. There was a time when Israel was punished by the Lord, and God brought a foreign nation called Babylon over and destroyed the land of Israel. And adjacent to the land of Israel, there's a couple nations all around Israel, the Mediterranean Sea on one side. And then there is, you know, Lebanon to the north and Syria. And you go down to the right hand side, you've got Jordan. Below Jordan, you had the nation of Moab. And then below the nation of Moab, at the very tip, sort of down where Egypt, kind of where Egypt is, there was a land called the land of Edom, the Edomites. And we went there one time many years ago. We went into the city called the city of Petra. And now it's in the modern day Jordan. I won't go into all that. But it's the Edom was called the walled city, or the rock kingdom. And Edom looks over at the land of Israel after Babylon had destroyed them, took all their princes, destroyed the temple, destroyed their things they trusted in. And Edom said these words, said, look at this. We can plunder that nation now. They're weakened. They've been disciplined by the Lord. They have lost their protection. They've lost their armies. They've lost their horses. They've lost their men of war. And Edom says, I will go in and I can now take a plunder and spoil that nation. But they missed one little detail in the whole shebang. Even though all of that was true, here's what the Lord says. Because you cherished perpetual enmity and gave over the people of Israel to the power of the sword at the time of their calamity, at the time of their final punishment. Go to the next verse. And you shall know that I am the Lord. I have heard all the revilings that you have uttered against the mountains of Israel, saying, they're laid desolate. They are given to us to devour. Because you said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will take possession of them. Although, here's the little caveat, that even though they were weakened, even though they'd been punished, even though they'd been disciplined by God, he says, you've missed this one little point. God is there. Come on, somebody. He said, you've said all these things, but you missed this one little point. That is, although the Lord was there. And so what happens is this. They had gotten all of that. They thought it was all okay until they did not realize that even though God will discipline his people at times, he will never leave them nor forsake them. And the enemy may look at you and think it's a great time to put you down. It's a great time to take you under. But he's got to realize this. He misses this one little point. The Lord is ever present in his people. Where two or three are gathered. He told them, I will never leave you or forsake you. You know, one of the greatest things I've learned from Brother Eccles, who I grew up under, was this. Never forget the Lord is with you. All the theology that you learn, all the things you memorize, all the things you do, never forget that the Lord is always present in the temple, in his temple. And never forget that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And forever he will be there. Forever he dwells there. You know, all through the Bible, whenever there was a need, whenever there was a changing from one reign of power to the next, when one prophet left, another one took up. When one king died and another king was anointed. When one pastor of a church would leave and another one would come up. You know what the key of it is? Listen, men, we have a limit on our lives. And one day I will not be, come on, some, one day I will be in heaven and I will be glad. I will, come on, somebody, because heaven is better than Baton Rouge, I have found out. So there'll be a day when I'll be in heaven. You all could weep and cry over me. And oh, he was such a great guy. And then you'll forget all about me. Because, listen, let me tell you. Because the Lord is here. He never leaves. And no matter what happens to one to the next, the Lord is ever present. And so in Deuteronomy 31, it's the story of Moses. He's been disciplined by the Lord to the point where God said, you're not going into the land. And read the book of Deuteronomy. God, the Bible says, Moses started asking the Lord again after the Lord had said, you can't go in. Then you know what God said? He said, enough! Don't talk to me about that again. And so the Bible says God buried Moses where nobody else could find him, or they'd have made a statue out of him, whatever they'd have done. And the Bible says he's about to turn over the reins of all that he had done. Everybody's eyes were on Moses, and he's about to turn the reins over to a young man by the name of Joshua. And he's looking, he knows the battles Joshua's going to face. He knows the difficulties. He knows what it takes to take the load of leadership upon himself and all that encompasses. And listen what he says to him. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel. And he said to them, I'm 120 years old today. I'm no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself. Everybody said the Lord God himself. Come on. See, I've learned this. If an angel is, when the rapture occurs, my Bible says the Lord himself shall, come on somebody. The Lord himself shall descend. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He'll destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispose them. And Joshua will go over at your head as the Lord has spoken. So one thing is, it says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He said, don't worry about me. I'm not going to be there. I'm not going over there. I can imagine that you're not going. He's a young guy. He's just a young whippersnapper. I remember when I took over the church here, the pastor before me was such a great man of God and taught well. And I remember that after that first or second Sunday I'm here, somebody came up after that pastor left. And I remember the guy came up to me. He said, boy, they pick them green here, don't they? Doesn't matter if you're green or red or orange, as long as the Lord is with you. And Moses looks at this group of elders who's looking down at this little peepsqueak called Joshua. And he says, don't worry about it. God is still here. Come on. He hadn't retired. He hadn't died. He's right here in the midst of you. He said he will never leave you or forsake you. It don't matter who's at the head as long as God is at the top. Come on, somebody. So he said, don't be discouraged. Be strong. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people to the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes with you. Listen to that. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter who's left you as long as the Lord has not left you. Come on, somebody. It doesn't matter who's forsaken you. The Lord will never forsake you. Your boss, your husband, your wife, your child. It doesn't matter who has forsaken you. The Lord will never forsake you. He tells Joshua, buddy, he said, I know you got a lot of battles. I know you got a lot of fights. I know what you're about to enter into. But don't you be discouraged and don't you be afraid, because the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. You stand up strong, put you back, because God will give you wisdom. God will give you direction, and God will give you. He said, the same way I got it, God will give it to you. The same way God taught me, I was a nobody and a nowhere but on the backside of the desert. And God taught me everything I know. How many know that everybody in here is stupid about something? Come on, somebody. Everybody in here is stupid about something. You don't know everything. You don't know everything about everything. You might know a whole lot about what you're involved in, but you're stupid about some other things. I won't go into that. We'll leave it there. All right. He's Jehovah Shammah. You know, David said this. Look at the book of Psalms. Where shall I go from your spirit? Now, listen to this. David practiced the presence of the Lord. David believed in the presence of the Lord. That is, that God was always with him. That he didn't matter where he was, what was going on in his life, God was always with him. Listen to how he writes this. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, guess what? Everybody say what? God's there. If I make my bed in Sheol, guess what? God is there. It says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, guess what? Even there you are. Your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is bright as day, for the darkness is as light with you. You know what he did? He said, there ain't nowhere I can go that God isn't there. There's nowhere I can go that God is not there. God is with me always. In fact, I like what he said here. He says, how precious are your thoughts and your, oh God, how vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and guess what? Remember the old guy said, Lord, thank you. So far today, I'm not cussed. I've not cheated anybody. I'm not, my anger has not gotten away from me, but Lord, I'm about to get out of bed. Come on, somebody. David said, when I wake up, when my little eyeballs open up and I either look at my wife or husband and think, oh, better turn the other way. And when I look at the ceiling, when I see whatever I see, David said this, Lord, you're right there with me. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He is right there in the midst. You know, one of the keys about my life is I have never doubted that God is with me always. God has been with me. God will always be with me. You know what I like? Jesus said it this way in Matthew 10. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground. What does it say? I'll never forget that. It doesn't say that only that your heavenly Father knows. It says, not one sparrow will fall to the ground without God is there. I'll never forget that. One time I lived out in Central, and I was driving to church one morning, one Sunday morning. I'll never forget this. I looked over, and I saw a bird fall to the ground. And I remember I was just watching the thing, and I couldn't believe it. It died, or I don't know what, it just fell to the ground dead. And I'll never forget the feeling in my heart as this scripture came up. Can you imagine just seeing a bird die and suddenly God is like God floods your car? Because I wasn't feeling especially spiritual. He had me know there's some mornings the pastor doesn't want to come to church. Come on, somebody. And I'm watching this bird die and suddenly God is here. God is here. God's real. You know, and it happens sometimes when you know that even the hairs on your head is numbered. You know, David said this in Psalms 23. I like it. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Why? Because God's with me. He's still Jehovah Shammah. He's the Lord who is there. You know, David learned to walk in the presence of God. He said, I'm not going to fear all that because God is with me. David is doing like Moses. He's about to die. And he's got his son, Solomon. He's about to turn the reins over to him. And Solomon at this point was not the wisest king that ever lived. Solomon was just one of many sons that David picks him. He's the son of a woman who David committed adultery with, Bathsheba, and killed her husband. And so at this point, it looks very iffy. How's this guy going to turn? This young guy named Solomon, he's young. He doesn't have the resume that we know of him today. He was just a nobody, just young and tender. And his background was a little suspect and all and on and on. And listen to how David addresses him. He says, he called for Solomon, his son, and charged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. Now, my son, the Lord do what? What's his concern? The Lord what? The Lord be with you so that you may succeed in building the house of the Lord your God as he has spoken concerning you. And David also commanded all the leaders. Now, here's all the leaders. See, he commands his son. He says, listen, here's the biggest thing that ever happened in your life is understand and know that the Lord is with you. Walk every day as if knowing the Lord is, he's Jehovah Shammah. Know this, if the enemy looks at you and thinks he can come in and take you over because the Lord is disciplining you, he misses one little point. That is, God never leaves you nor forsakes you. And so he tells Solomon that. But then he knows all the leaders are looking at David. And here's this little young kid, Solomon, about to take over from his daddy. And so he says, he calls all the leaders. He says, is not the Lord your God with you? And has he not given you peace on every side? For he has delivered the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and his people. And so he says this. He said, know all of this has transpired. He said, you guys, no matter if I'm here or I'm not here, God is always here. You know, whether you got that job or this job, you need to know this. The Lord is always there. Whether you've got this or that situation, listen, the Lord is always there. He is always called Jehovah Shammah. Jesus, one of the last things he ever said, listen, last words are important. Last words mean a lot. Well, you've been around a going home bed, not a deathbed, but a going home bed. Some of the last words you speak are very, very important. You don't think about trivial things. You think, what do I want to leave them with? Can you imagine if you're about to not see them again? And what would you tell them? What would you tell your kids? What would you tell your wife, your husband? What was the last words you would tell them? I want you to listen to one of the last words Jesus tells, Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority has been given me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And behold, what? And behold, here's the last. You know, we always major on the evangelism and major on and here's the, but here's the last words he looked at them. I want you to do all that, but then I want you never to forget this one truth. I am with you always. I am with you always. Your emotions might not feel it. Doesn't matter what they think. I told you I am with you always. Doesn't matter what your head tells you. I told you I am with you. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are telling you. I told you, I am with you always. Doesn't matter what you're feeling, what you're facing. Doesn't matter what you're experiencing. I told you, I am with you always. I'll be there. I won't leave you. I took up my residence inside of you. Me and my Father both. My Father and I took up our abode in you. I will be with you always. Sometimes we hit a little scripture and we just bump right over them. He said, I will be, P.S., I will be with you always. That means highways, byways, railways, skyways, no ways, always. It means every, I will be with you always. And he said, he just kind of, even to the end of the age. I like what David said in Psalms 18. He said, the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands and my sight. I'll go backwards. I have got the wrong scripture there. I think go back to Psalms if you can. And what I'm looking for is, it's 18. I must have written it down wrong. It says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Everybody say it with me. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You know what's good about a friend? A friend is, one person said, a friend is one who always stabs you in the front. Did you get that? Faithful are the wounds of what? But deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. A friend is one who always stabs you in the front. It's called speaking the truth in love. But the good thing about it is, it says, a friend is one after you have, what was it? A friend is someone who, after you make a fool of yourself, lets you know you didn't do a permanent job. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Listen, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. One of the keys about life is this. There are many times when those that you lean on can't be with you. But there is one who will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, I've been in some operating. You know, they won't let my family stand in there and hold my hand when I'm on the operating table. Come on, somebody. But Jesus can go be with you in there. There are times when you can't listen. My children, I couldn't be with my kids. My daughter went on a mission field. Benjamin, you know, lately went on the mission field. I couldn't be with them, but I had one that could be with them. I had one I knew that promised me he would never leave them or forsake them. I've been in times, I don't know about you, one time I was left in Amsterdam. I had a whole group, and I remember I had to stay in Amsterdam 2 more days. And I'm going to tell you, it was rainy and cold and freezing. It was the most miserable time. And you talk about loneliness just hitting you. But I learned this, even in the midst of that, there is one who is with me. Come on, somebody. You can be surrounded by people and yet still be empty. You know, the only way Paul did what he did was because there was one that never left him or forsook him. You know, when you think the Apostle Paul, I'm going to tell you the truth. If we look like we look like on earth, I don't know if that's going to happen or not in heaven. We get new bodies and all that. But have you ever heard somebody on the radio and then met them up close and personal? You're that person? You ever had an announcer like a, you ever seen these football announcers? Sometimes you listen, their voice sounds so impressive and da-da-da. And then you look at him, he's about 5'2", you know, weighs about 48 pounds. And you think. And the apostle, listen, that was the way the apostle Paul was. You know, we read about Paul the apostle and we think of him as you know, some impressive, you know, we meet him, he just bowls us over with his impressiveness. And that is absolutely the opposite of what happened during the days of the apostle Paul. Paul would write these letters and they would get to some of these cities before he ever went there. And when he got there, they did what some of us do when you meet somebody for the first time, because some of them said, man, he wrote a big weighty letter, but when you look at the guy, he's a shrimp. You don't believe me? I can tell that. Look at this, read it. 1 Corinthians, watch this. I see, we need to go back. Did I not put these in? Did I put 2 Corinthians 10 in, or I didn't put them in? We have Bibles. We can use Bibles. Watch this. Go ahead and take that one off. 2 Corinthians 10. Listen to this. Let me just read these to you. I may have left these off. 2 Corinthians 10. And listen what Paul writes about himself. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1. It said, I, Paul, myself entreat you by the mercies and gentleness of Christ, I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I'm away. I beg of you that when I am present, may not have to show boldness for such confidence as I come on showing against some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your disobedience is complete. Now, look at what is before your eyes. If anyone is confident in Christ, let him remind himself that just as he is Christ, so also are we. For even as I boast a little too much of our authority, which the Lord gave me for building you up and not for destroying you, I will not be ashamed. I do not want to appear to be frightening you with my letters. And listen what he says. For they say his letters, they say his letters are weighty and strong. But his presence, he's a peepsqueak when he comes in. He's a shrimp. He's a little nobody, like a wind would blow him away. He writes these big, mean, threatening letters, but when he gets here, nobody will be afraid of him. Is that what he says? They say, he says his letters is weighty and rah, 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 but his bodily presence is what? Weak, and his speech is what? He's not a real great. I'm going to tell you, one night he preached and the Bible says a guy in the window fell asleep. Is that right? Fell out the window, broke his neck. Come on, somebody. And it wasn't just because he preached on and on and on, though he did. It was because he wasn't that great a preacher. But then, of course, he went out there and raised the guy from the dead. How many know that covers up for all your... We had a guy came here one time, saw angels, and he was the most boringest guy we ever heard in our life. I don't know how you can be boring telling about angels appearing to you, but he was as boring as life could be. And we used to say, well, we know why the angels appear, because he's so, come on, he's so boring. They say his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak, his speech is no account. Go next. Let such a person understand that what we say by letter and absent, we do when present. Not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by another one and compare themselves with another, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond our limits, but we will boast only with regard to the areas of influence that God has assigned to each one and to you. And listen, so what happens is Paul comes on the scene and see if you can find 2 Corinthians 11 now, verse 23, 24, 25. First, I didn't put these in, I understand. 2 Corinthians, now listen to this. Paul comes in, and I mean, he must have been a physical wreck, physically looking. That's 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 11, 23, 24, 25. Okay. Are they servants? I am better one. I am talking like a madman. Far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless, everybody say countless, countless beatings. I mean, when you take a beating, you get black and blue, you get hit. How many know if you had countless beatings, you may not look the best?
Can I get a better amen here?
I mean, come on, all the ruggers. It says, with countless beatings, I'm sorry, go back. It said, countless, far more imprisonment, countless beatings, and often near death. He's not talking about just get punched in the nose and, you know, often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews, what? 5 times he got the cat of 9 tails. 5 times. How many know that'll do a job on you, beauty? Come on, somebody. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with what? See, we think rods is an old stick. They used to put stuff on the rods to scar you. When you got beat with a rod, they put this stuff on there. When you got hit, it scarred you. You had all these scars. He says, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Anybody here ever been rotten egg, just rotten egged? He was stoned. I'll tell you about this. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. I mean, he tells all these things. Then one more. Look at 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 6 through 10. Look at this last one. 2 Corinthians 12, 6 through 10. In fact, I'll tell you, on the one I want to get out one where it says, once I was stoned. But it says, on behalf of this man I will boast. On my own behalf I will not accept of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool. I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it so no one may think more of me than he sees in me or hears from me. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, the thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I plead with the Lord about this and it should leave me. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in what? Therefore, I'll boast the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamity. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Can I tell you something? The Apostle Paul, you never saw I don't know what the word to use. You never saw a man more willing and able to lay his life down and not to get upset about what he was or wasn't. I don't know what you think you can or cannot do, but the Apostle Paul, if you would saw him, you would never have picked him out in the crowd to have done what he did. When you read and when you go over that, I had a friend that just went and went through the 7 churches and went through what's a part of Turkey and all that. And he told me, he said, Terry, he said, you can't believe it. He said, you cannot believe when you read that Paul left this city and went to this city. And you think, okay, well, no big deal. You know, just caught a cab and went over. You didn't have all that. He said it would be, you know, when he went from that city to the next city, it would be over mountain passes, through dangerous areas, through thieves, through robbers, he said it'd be miles and miles and miles. When he got stoned, one time they took him and they stoned him and they left him as dead. And the Bible says when they left, the brothers came out, got around and prayed, and he got up out of that pile of stones. The next morning got up and walked 8 miles to the next city. Come on, somebody. Got up the next morning and walked 8 miles to the next city. And you got to get that in your heart, because they thought he was frail, though he couldn't, you know, but listen, though he was frail, they could not kill him until God was done with him. He had a fire burning in his heart that nothing could stop. He had a desire. He said, listen, the only thing I know is this. In myself, I am nothing. I will concentrate on my weaknesses, my insult, my inabilities. But I know this one fact. God is with me. And when God is with me, it doesn't matter whether you can speak well or you cannot, whether you can do all, it does not matter. It's not the what, it's the who that called you to do the what. And you believe God and let God work in your life. And I like this, because Paul, at the end of his life, he said this. He said, you know, you haven't seen bravery until you saw it in this little man. You haven't seen bravery till you really understand what Paul did. He would go into cities that had none whatsoever, no Christianity, no background. They were all pagans. And he would go in the middle of all that. Last night I was reading Reinhard Bonnke's book. He wrote a big old book on his life history. It's amazing, because they came out of Germany, and he tells a story. He says, you know what? He begins his first few chapters with is giving reference back to a man that nobody knows about. He said there was a man that left Germany, went to America, made his fortune. When the man was 65 years old, sold his businesses off, did everything, and moved back to Germany. Came up with a nice Mercedes, bought him a nice Mercedes, and began to tour the country of Germany. This is back in 1922. He said Germany was literally just pagan and all this and that at that point. Instead, he got lost one time, and Reinhard tells the story. This is many years before Reinhard, about 10 or 15 years before Reinhard Bonnke was born. He said, but I owe my ministry back to this man. This man comes in to our little city, and he's looking for directions. And he said he comes in, and everybody's very cautious and very, you know, it's a small village. He said he comes in, and he asks one of the bakery, we stopped at the bakery, he said, are you a Christian? The guy said, I'm a Nazarene. He said, I didn't ask that. I said, I wonder whether you're a Christian. I said, we're all Nazarene. And, or Presbyterian, I think it was. And he said, he said, it doesn't matter what you are. He said, you know, are you saved? You know God. And the guy said, we're Presbyterian. And so he said, well, let me ask this. He said, and he was spirit filled, tongue talking, believing in the fire of God to do the impossible. And he said, let me ask you a question. He said, if God were to, he said, I believe God, is there any sick in this town? And the man said, oh yeah, there's people sick in this town. He said, well, let me ask you a question. If God would heal one of your sick people, would you come to a meeting I'm having? And the baker said, absolutely. And he said, about that time, he heard this screaming echoing off one of the buildings. And he said, looked like the baker had a smile on his face. And he said, yes, sir, if you can do a healing. He said, and he heard this screaming. He said, you hear that screaming? And this evangelist, this guy said, yeah. He said, that is, I forgot Reinhard's dad's name. But Reinhard's father, this is 10 years before Reinhard was ever born. He said, that's Mr. Bonnke. And he's got a disease now in his bone to where he cannot even have anybody touch him. And he's screaming day and night. We listen to him scream, because he'll turn and then scream out in pain. And so this man, just full of the Holy Ghost, went down to where Mr. Bonnke was and said, and asked his wife, said, would you mind if I prayed for your husband for healing? And the same response, we're Presbyterian. He said, I didn't ask that. He said, would you mind if I prayed for your husband for healing? And he laid hands on Mr. Bonnke. And listen, it had been, I think, 8 years he'd been screaming out in this town. 8 years. Laid his hands on this. And Reinhard says, my dad jumped out of bed and started shouting. And then he said, unbelievable. And then he laid hands on them, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, I would like to tell you the town got turned around. He said, he had a meeting. Nobody came. The baker wouldn't even come that agreed to. said the only two people came to the meeting was my mom and my dad. He stayed there a while, encouraged him in God, and there was a fellowship in the next town, and they became part of that, da-da-da-da. And he said, 10 years later, I was born. And he said, what propelled me now into the ministry, he said, you never even know this guy. Let me tell you something about what God wants to do with your life. You need to know God, even if you're lost, God is with you. Even God is motioning and doing your life. You know, when you read these, Paul the Apostle went from one city like that to the next. And at the end of his life, he's standing before Nero, who was the emperor of Rome. And everybody deserted him. The good ones, Luke and Barnabas and Silas and Titus and all those that had been with Paul, they were all in their own cities, pastoring their own churches. They were all in their own ministries now. Though those brethren in Rome that had committed to be with Paul, when Paul was brought before Nero, they all scurried like rats and left him alone. And I want you to listen, because Paul writes back to Timothy and he tells Timothy about his first appearance in court before Nero. Because the word of an emperor was you could die. And listen what Paul writes. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me. I want you to listen. Now think about these are not just some dictating, you know, just this is written to Timothy, his son in the faith. And you can just feel I can see tears welling up in Timothy's eyes. And I'd have been there for you. But Timothy was in Ephesus pastoring the church in Ephesus. Many believe, I believe it. He was pastoring in Ephesus. And Paul said, Timothy, there I was in chains and I stood before. And there was Caesar and his pomp and all that took place. He says, and at my first offense, nobody stood with me. All deserted me. May it not be charged against them. Everybody say, but. Everybody say, but one more time. But the Lord. Everybody say, but the Lord stood by me. Why is that? Because he's Jehovah Shammah. Why is that? Because he promised he'd never leave us or forsake us. I'm going to tell you something. Some of you lately have had to stand by yourself. And you thought you were by yourself. But, come on somebody, say but. But the Lord stood with you. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. So that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Everybody say amen today, would you? Look at verse 17. It says, and listen, and then it says this. He was on trial for his life. But I like this. What else it says? He says, well, you know, in verse 18, and I like this because it says, and the Lord, everybody say the next word. Everybody say will. You know what that means? That says not only in the past, not only in the present, but God's already working in the future. See, we're all thinking about Sunday. God's already thinking about Tuesday. See, we're thinking about maybe Monday. God's already thinking about what's happening on Friday. He is preparing. He is, you know why? Because he is with me every day of my life. If everybody else leaves me and deserts me and gets scared, I can always stand and say, they all deserve me. Lord, don't hold it against their, don't charge them, oh God. But I know this, but the Lord is with me deep inside. Can I tell you, whatever you're facing this week, whatever it is you're doing, listen, and not only for today, but tomorrow, whatever it is. Can you put that up there? The Lord is with me. Can you put the Lord is there? Put that phrase up there. I want you to do, how many of you were Catholic? How many of you have been Catholic in your life? Let's see. Okay, a lot of you. Then you know this thing. I want you to say this phrase after I say it. When nobody else is with you. Oh, you're good. You remember your routine. When the doctor says cancer. When your boyfriend leaves you. When your girlfriend dumps you, come on somebody. When your wife walks out. When your husband walks out. When the bank says get out, come on somebody. Come on, you got to get that in your heart because you need to understand the Lord is there. And when you walk that in that truth, the Lord is there. Doesn't matter what's happening in your life, the Lord is there. You know, one of the keys is Hebrews 13. I like this. It says, keep your life free from the love of money. Doesn't say don't have it, just keep it from the love of it. Be content with what you have. For he has said, I will what? Before you go there, how many have ever had a kid, one of your children in love? How many has ever had one of your children in love? What do you want to eat? Oh, anything. You want to? No, I don't need nothing. What don't you need? I'm in love. Birds sing sweeter. Air smells fresher. You know what? Because you're in love. And Jesus said, you know, one of the keys about getting rid of covetousness out of your life is when you got the best, why do you want the rest? Come on, somebody. He says, I told you I'll never leave you or forsake you. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Look at verse 6. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. He said, listen, I am with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I am with you at all times. You know what? I want musicians to come on back up. You know, when Israel was in the land, and the Bible says that they had been disciplined by God because of their disobedience and all that they did. Babylon came, destroyed them. Edom looked over from the other side and said, you know what? I can take a spoil. And the Bible says this. They missed this one little fact. God was still there. Bring the lights down a little bit, would you, this morning? You know, it's just a little encouraging message for you. But I really felt when the Lord left earth, the last thing he wanted them to remember was, don't ever forget this fact. I am with you always to the ends of the age. Never forget that. And then when he writes in Hebrews and he said, listen, he said, never forget this. He said, don't get your life free from all the covetousness and all that stuff. And because of this one reason, the Lord will never leave you or forsake you. There is a friend this morning. Everybody stand up this morning. Would you? Everybody stand up. Listen, I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know who has left you and walked out of your life. And I don't know who has promised to be there but wasn't. I don't know who has said that they would, you know, be your support or be your supply. Let me tell you something about that. You don't have to, you can get rid of all that kind of stuff because God is our supply. He has promised to provide. He said, listen, I don't have to fear what man will do to me because God is my helper. God is my supply. I don't have to worry about who stands with me or doesn't. The Lord is with me. The Lord. I remember Jonathan one time when they were about to fight a bunch of Philistines and they were all upset. And here's what Jonathan's theology was. He said, you know what? He said, the Lord, it doesn't matter whether we got a lot or a few with us, as long as God is with us. And my dad's told me all my life growing up, he said, Terry, he said, always remember that you and God are the majority. You and God are the majority. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. How many know God's bigger than all the rest of them put together? And when Jesus lives in you, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you can believe that. And listen, you've got to walk a life where you believe God is with me. I know we need people with skin on too. That's what a little boy said one time. He was scared of all the thundering and lightning. And the mama said, but Jesus is with you. He said, yeah, I was somebody with skin on too. But let me tell you something. There is an understanding though when you grow up. That even if you don't have anybody with skin on, there is one that sticketh closer than a brother who has promised you that I will never leave you or forsake you. One that said this, I will be closer to you than this. And there is a friend this morning that sticks closer than a brother in your life. There is a friend. And I want to sing this song slow to start with. And it says, who am I that you should? Just sing it slow.
That you hear me when I call.
Yeah, Liam. My voice will be strong. Come on.
Is it true that you are thinking of me?
Come on, just close your eyes. Think of
that. How you love me. It's amazing.
Do that again now.
Come on.
Say it now. Come on. There we go. I want you to close your eyes one more time. Because I felt like there were people here today that needed to know that. I remember one time I was in a church in New Orleans. And I'll never forget this because I used to be so critical of prophetic words that were so simple. And I'll never forget that I was in one of those situations in my life where I was so down. And I remember that the prophetic word that night came out and says, "The Lord wants you to know tonight, for the Lord says, I love you." And in my, you know, my up days, I'd have thought, well, how shallow. But you know, in that moment, that's exactly what I needed. And there are situations in here this morning, people that are facing things in life that you feel and felt totally alone. And I want you to know the Lord wanted to send a word to you this morning, even though all others have forsaken me. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me this morning. And Father, this morning I pray that the revelation of your presence, that we do as Joshua says, Lord, if your presence go not with us, do not take us up from here. How we love you. Can you give the Lord a good clap offering this morning? Come on.
Are mindful of me.
Come on, put your hands together.
That you hear me.
That you hear me.
When I call.
Come on, when I call.
Is it true that you are thinking of me?
Oh, you're thinking of me, Lord.
And how you love me.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Friend of God. Say it.
I am a friend of God.
Yeah, yeah, say it.
to the Lord today. Thank you today that as we walk out these doors and we part and go in all different parts of the city, you're with us. Father, I pray for everyone that's even under the discipline of the Lord today. Even the enemy may look at them weakened, but they miss that one fact: the Lord is there. And those, Lord, that have felt alone and left alone by loved ones or enemy, whatever it may have been, that your presence becomes so real in their life that they would be called from this day forward the place where the Lord is. Lord, whatever they think about themselves, let it change. Even as in that future day when Jerusalem changes from Jerusalem to Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Father, I pray there be a name change in lives of people today. They would not think of themselves as Tom and Dick and Harry, but Lord, today they would think of themselves as the temple of the Holy Spirit. That God dwells there, and the name of their God will be written on them one day. Now listen, the Bible says that very plain. One day God is going to write His name on you. God's going to write His name on us. But I believe it's already there in the Spirit. It's already there. The name of the Lord. And you know what I believe? It's God. The Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah. As you walk through your day, you ought to just say that name, Jehovah Shammah. You ought to just say, the Lord is here. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear? Who have I in heaven but you, O God? You dwell within me. And as you walk, listen, you need to understand, it doesn't matter if you feel the loneliness crowding into your life, you will never be forsaken and you will never be by yourself. God will always be in your life. Jesus promised us, and He promised you, I will never leave you or forsake you, but I will be with you to the end of the age. We love you, Lord, this morning. Everybody said amen. Give Him one more good clap offering. Would you do that? Turn around and hug somebody. Turn around and hug Him. We're going to sing that song again. Who am I that you are mindful of me?
That you hear me now.